This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, July 1st. I'm Audrey McCabe. Voters across the state made their picks in partisan primaries yesterday, June 30th. KVNF's Brody Wilson has more on preliminary election results.
First, a reminder. Colorado is now officially a blue state, with nearly all statewide and federal races going Democratic in general elections. That means that these Democratic primaries, in most instances, are selecting the likely winner in November. We'll start with federal races. In the race for the Democratic Senate nomination, incumbent John Hickenlooper held off a primary challenge from younger progressive Democratic socialist Julie Gonzalez. Hickenlooper will face Republican nominee Mark Baisley in November. In Congressional District 1, which is the Denver metro area, Colorado Democrats followed suit with a national trend of replacing incumbents with more progressive candidates. After 20 years in office, Congresswoman Diana DeGette was unseated by 29-year-old self-proclaimed Democratic socialist Milot Kyros. The New York Times noted this morning that Ms. DeGette, 68, was elected to Congress the year before Ms. Kyros was born. Ms. Kyros will face Republican nominee Christy Peterson in November. In CD2, Democratic incumbent Joe Nagus was uncontested, but on the Republican side, Kellyanne Dennison beat out Christina Blunt to face Nagus in November. Here in CD3, Colorado's Western Slope Democrats are hoping to take the seat formerly held by Lauren Boebert in November, and Duane Romero beat out Alex Keloff. Listen to KBNF's interview with Mr. Romero at kbnf.org/vote. Mr. Romero will face Republican incumbent Jeff Hurd in November, who easily beat out a primary challenge from Ron Hanks. Democrat Manny Rutino beat out Shannon Byrd to face Republican incumbent Gabe Evans in November, a race that will be closely watched this November as a key race for Democrats push to win a majority in the House. And moving to statewide races, in the race for governor, Colorado's Attorney General Phil Weiser beat out current Senator Michael Bennett, with Weiser receiving 56% of the vote. Weiser is likely to be Colorado's next executive, and if you'd like to get to know him and his views, you can hear our 30-minute conversation with him at kbnf.org/vote. Which Republican candidates Weiser will face in November, however, is still unclear, as the race between more moderate Barb Kirkmeyer and far-right Victor Marx is currently separated by less than 1% of the vote on the Republican side. In the race for Secretary of State, Amanda Gonzalez, a 41-year-old who's currently Jefferson County's clerk and recorder, beat out Jesse Danielson, a current two-term state senator. Gonzalez will face Republican James Wiley in November, a race that she's likely to win. In a crowded Democratic race for Attorney General, Colorado's current Secretary of State Jenna Griswold handily beat out three other Democratic candidates and is likely to be Colorado's next AG. She'll face Republican Michael Allen, who beat David Wilson in the race for Republican Attorney General nomination. In State House District 54, which covers most of Mesa County and the western half of Delta County, Republican Nina Anderson beat out Jason Baez. Ms. Anderson will face Democrat Brittany Packard in November. And finally, there was only one county-level contested race in the KBNF listening area, and that was the race for Delta County Sheriff, where Quinn Archibek handily beat out Daryl Reed, with Archibek winning 82% of the vote. Okay, that was a lot. So here are the takeaways. Hickenlooper stays in the Senate. Bennett stays in the Senate because he was defeated by Phil Weiser, who is likely to be Colorado's next governor. Jenna Griswold is likely to be Colorado's next attorney general, and Griswold's Secretary of State seat is likely to be filled by Amanda Gonzalez. In CD3 here on the Western Slope, the race will be between Jeff Hurd and Duane Romero. Statewide, voter turnout was just 31%. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
Last week's Delta County School Board meeting was an eventful one. There were two farewells at the meeting. One was expected, the other was a surprise. Superintendent Karen Gibson opened the meeting with her farewell address. She retires at the end of the month after 16 years leading the district and 40 years in education. Gibson thanked her family, her staff, and the community. She pointed to the district's accomplishments, strong state ratings across all its schools, and championships in athletics and academics. Taking over for Gibson is Amber Clark. She most recently served as an assistant superintendent in Garfield County. Karen Gibson is running for an uncontested seat on the Montrose Board of County Commissioners. Then came a surprise. At the end of the meeting, board member Dan Burke announced he was resigning, effective immediately. Burke said he was often in the minority on decisions, and that it had grown increasingly frustrating.
starting last November, I started to experience that I no longer had a true voice on the board, that my input was going to be in the minority. It has been increasingly frustrating in an already busy and stressful situation. I feel can no longer make a difference.
Looking to the future, he offered,
"We need to work together to keep the board nonpartisan."
And after an emotional thank you to those who have supported him, including his wife,
"I wish to resign my District 4 Board of Directors seat effectively this evening, June 25th, 2026. Sincerely, Dan."
Dan Burke had been involved with the school district since 1982. Gibson thanked Burke for his service to the district. It's summer in the Rocky Mountain West, and people are flocking to hike, mountain bike, and enjoy the region's public lands. But we're sharing that landscape with wildlife, including mountain lions. While encounters with these big cats are rare, wildlife experts say it's important to know what to do if you see one. For Rocky Mountain Community Radio, KOTO's Julia Caulfield reports.
Mountain lions are magnificent. Impressive hunters of stealth, they're rare to see in the wild.
A lot of times I wonder how many mountain lions have seen me, but we just so infrequently see them because they are kind of stealthy. They prefer to kind of be in the shadows and away from the human eye.
That's John Livingston with Colorado Parks and Wildlife.
They're not like marmots where you go up in the high country and you see them all over the place. They are much more, you know, kind of solo, independent creatures and are frequently not seen. But most people, if you've hiked in Colorado, there's a good chance that a mountain lion has seen you.
Last week, however, a mountain biker got a close-up view on the Wasatch Trail in Bear Creek outside of Telluride. According to the San Miguel County Sheriff's Office, the mountain biker reported riding in very close proximity of an adult mountain lion. The sheriff's office believes the rider startled the mountain lion that was hidden by the trail, and the cat was not acting aggressively. Still, it's good to be aware and know what to do to stay safe. Livingston says he always encourages people to walk or hike with others, carry bear spray, and make a lot of noise to avoid surprising a lion.
Just really encourage people not to wear headphones or earbuds. You know, I know a lot of my trail running friends like to listen to a podcast or throw on some music while they're out trail running. And so often trail runners will go out alone and really... you know, if a lion is in a situation where it's hungry and it sees you as a possible food source, you know, especially that movement of running could trigger some of their chase instinct, something like that. But you just want to be really aware of your surroundings.
If you do come upon a mountain lion, don't turn your back on it and maintain eye contact. Livingston says you can spot if a lion is getting ready to attack if it's crouched down, hind feet pumping, its tail is twitching, and its eyes are locked with ears forward. He says it's completely fine to try and haze a lion away.
Yell, wave your arms over your head, grab rocks and throw them. You'd never want to kind of really break that eye contact or turn your back to a mountain lion in that situation if you're kind of in a standoff with it. Get big as you can. You know, if you're wearing a jacket, you could kind of put that jacket up over your head or lift it up over your head. Just do something to make yourself look bigger, look intimidating, and try to get that lion to go the other way.
He adds to make sure the mountain lion has an escape route to get away. Livingston notes mountain lion attacks in Colorado are very rare, but they do happen.
While they are incredibly rare, there are some instances where we have had some attacks, and unfortunately, already in 2026, one fatal attack.
That death was a woman trail running on the Front Range. Livingston says CPW has been receiving more reports of mountain lion sightings lately. He says that's largely because of technology, things like Ring doorbells and outside cameras.
It's just important for people to remember that we are constantly around mountain lions, where just by the nature of where we live, the good habitat, where we're living. You know, we live in the mountains and they're called mountain lions, right? Like this is a space for they've called home for generations. We're just seeing them more commonly.
If you do see a mountain lion, Livingston encourages the community to contact local CPW offices to help them collect data on where mountain lions are and how they're interacting with humans.
That report from KOTO's Julia Caulfield was shared with us via Rocky Mountain Community Radio. That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Audrey McCabe.